All right, before we do the monthly meeting, we're gonna have a public hearing on local law number one, enacting a real property tax exemption for historic property in Philmont. Sally, you're on the list to speak about that.
I am, but carry on if you're, so are you having a presentation on it from the assessor? What's happening?
We don't have the assessor here. You wanna tell them what it's all about?
Yes, do we have the law, cause maybe I could read from that. Yeah, that would be helpful.
Ron, I have a statement from the Heritage Group.
Yeah.
And I have a statement from Spring, Sutter, and Christopher Russell. And, but maybe Rob, you can sort of just give a quick summary of.
Sure, so it's a local law to enact a real property tax exemption for qualifying historic properties. So it's pursuant to the New York State Real Property Tax Law 444-A. And it states that historic property shall be exempt from taxation to the extent of any increase in value attributable to such alteration or rehabilitation pursuant to the following schedule. So the first 5 years, it's 100% exemption. Year six, it's 80%, seven, 60%. Year eight, it's 40%. Year nine is 20%, and year 10 is 0%. So if you have a qualifying historic property and you put $100,000 of improvements into it, that $100,000 of value would be tax exempt pursuant to that diminishing annual schedule. No such exemption shall be granted to such alteration or rehabilitation unless the property has been designated as a landmark or is a property that contributes to the character in a historic district created by local law. Alterations or rehabilitations must be made for means of historic preservation. Such alterations and rehabilitation of historic property is to meet guidelines and review standards of the local preservation law. Such alterations or rehabilitation of historic property are approved by the local preservation commission or board prior to work. And alterations or renovations are commenced subsequent to the effective day of this local law. So this law would be adopted by you, it would go down to the Clawbrook assessor, and if anybody wanted to make improvements, they would have to get an exemption form from the assessor and get it to the assessor before taxable status date, which is March 1st of any year.
And so just to confirm, so the property itself is still taxable, it's just improvements. They have a grace period of 5 years, and it goes down the tax break.
And after 10 years, it'll be taxed 100%.
Correct.
And so, Brian, you may wanna say the reason the board is considering this is.
Because we wanna clean Philmont up, and it's gonna help a lot with the big dollar items on the buildings. I mean, because the buildings, the older buildings in town, it's gonna take millions to clean it, to make them look good and be usable again. For instance, the mill and the hilltop. I mean, you're gonna throw millions into them. It's not just a couple of thousand dollars to fix them up. You're not gonna just splash some paint on the walls and make them look good. There's millions to go in there. So this is just a way that we can clean Philmont up, help maybe bring a couple businesses in. And, you know, after 10 years, they'll be taxed 100%. So I don't see where it's a bad thing for Philmont.
If I could follow that up with Spring Sutter's email. She says, thank you for considering the yes to vote to opt into the RPTL section of 444A for historic property. Knowing that our property taxes won't significantly increase when Hopkins House is restored helps us secure a construction loan for the project. We're also glad that the restoration won't suddenly increase average property values for the village. We're sorry not to be in attendance while we're working out of state, but we look forward to being home soon and beginning construction at the end of the summer. Sincerely, Christopher Russell and Spring Sutter.
So?
So Jennifer should go first.
Okay.
She's good. Let me go up there, just stand up.
Go ahead and stand up.
Okay, I'm Jennifer Tebow. I'm a property owner and a business owner here in Philmont. We own 164 Main Street, right up the street, the big red building. Just to follow up on one of the comments about prettying up the area and everything, we if you've ever seen the aerial video that somebody took as you enter Philmont, you see our building like right away. And it's an eyesore, I will tell you, it's an eyesore. Welcome to Philmont, here's our ugly building. So we don't need probably millions of dollars in renovations to get our building to just look better. We're actually working with the Philmont Heritage Group on getting a grant to do some facade work. Of course, we do have interior work that we're still working on, upper two levels. But just to get the exterior going, that's gonna be a big improvement to, I think, everyone's first impression of Philmont. So the Philmont Heritage Working Group, we are community members, volunteers, if anyone is interested in joining us. This is a lady to talk to right here, Sally Baker, you can talk to me. We are all involved in assisting with the promoting the nomination of the Village of Philmont to be listed on the New York State and National Registers of Historic Places. So that is a kind of a separate project going on from what we're talking about tonight, but it's all tied in. So this nomination application for listing the historic district is anticipated for December of this year if the New York State Historic Preservation Office and Division of Historic Preservation receives a sufficient number of votes in favor of the listing by property owners in the historic district. We will be at the Community Day Saturday, July 1st, promoting this, trying to get more community involvement, more community understanding about what this all means. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be allowed to do stuff to your house. It's there's just going to be guidelines if you want to receive the tax incentives for the renovations, then you will need to follow the guidelines. So we're trying to educate everyone about what this all means. So I am here this evening to contribute the Heritage Working Group support in favor of the Village of Philmont Board of Directors to positively motion for the adoption of the proposed local law enacting a real property tax exemption for historic property for the Village of Philmont.
And just to be clear to everybody, what Jennifer just explained that she was doing is 100% voluntary. It's nothing that you're gonna be made to do. It's 100% voluntary.
The compliance with the guidelines to receive
correct
tax, possible tax of
the tax credits.
Yes.
Yep. Right.
Yep. Everyone has to vote for it. I believe the property owners, that there needs to be a consensus. The number of
explain
votes.
That to
yeah, so I'm gonna explain that whole process. So we did the cultural resource survey, and we did that. It was published in 2021, and 425 buildings were surveyed, big survey. And then based on that, the New York State Preservation Office looked at it, and they did an evaluation, and they did a resource evaluation saying, yes, the historic district is great, we approve of this, and now you move on to the nomination. So that's what we're doing right now. And the preservation specialist, Jessie Ravitch, who we hired to write the survey, is now writing the nomination. She's gonna finish, hopefully. It's a big piece of work to do. It's bigger than the survey because it goes into much more detail about each individual building. She's expected to finish end of August. Her draft then goes to SHPO. They look at it and they say, yes, great. Or the agency can also say, hey, you know, we're gonna make some suggestions here, add some comments in. At that point, every single property owner in Philmont who is within the historic district is gonna get a letter from Parks. And it's gonna lay out, and we're gonna be working with Parks, we're gonna be working with the village to make sure that all the property owners' addresses are correct. And then the letters go out. And at that point, they call it a vote. It isn't really a vote. It's actually, if you are opposed, if you say,
I don't want a historic district to have the nomination, and the nomination gives you the tax credit availability. You write a letter to say, I am not in favor. If parks basically don't receive, you know, 425 building, I'm not in favor. If it looks like it's, you know, 60%, you know, favorable, meaning they didn't get a letter, then we will submit the nomination into the calendar for December, which means it will get reviewed at the state and the national level in the first quarter of next year. And then there will be an adjudication. Do they think that the historic district is great? We hope that they will. And then they'll say, okay, fine. And then they'll start the process to actually make the historic district eligible for the property owners to apply to SHPO, with SHPO's help, for tax credits, which is a whole other conversation. But it definitely, you know, dovetails into having the local law, because obviously you can't have the local law and be able to take advantage of the local law unless there's a historic district. So the village could tonight or a month's time, you know, approve the local law. That then means at this point, because we have a nomination pending, SHPO is actually taking in applications. We're sending in applications. And they're looking, you know, we're developing various buildings at the moment, and they're looking at them. And even though we don't have, you know, rubber stamp on the district nomination, it's pending. And it takes a fair amount of time to develop each one of these buildings. So if the village, you know, motioned and they said, okay, we'll put this local law on, then this whole process would be open up to the, you know, to any property owner. As it stands, any property owner that might be doing renovations or considering doing renovations can actually right now apply to SHPO. We did a presentation in the presentation was in January or February, and the three reps came down and they spoke, and they offered at that point that if there were buildings or property owners that had properties, that they were willing to accept applications. And a number of people that were in that presentation were just about to start renovations, and they took advantage of that. And PBNT has facilitated a number of those. So if anybody's thinking of renovation, we can actually start now. Just call me and I'll be able to steer you in the right direction. So that's basically, is that a good enough?
Yeah.
Any questions? Nothing leading more clarification?
I was at that presentation and I thought at that time they implied that all property owners had to vote. So that you're saying that's not true. You don't have to.
You know, they say that because people understand that, right? But what it actually really is if they get 425 buildings were assessed in the survey. If they got 425 letters saying we don't approve of this, right? If they get no letters, they in their terminology think that's a vote. They count that as a vote for. So silence is a vote for.
Okay.
So right. So if there are people, so when you get the letter, you know there are very, you know, please be awake. You know, don't put it in the waste bin. And we will be doing a public hearing in, I think, October, and we will, as Jennifer said, we're going to have a pop-up tent on the community day with a lot more information, like tax credit information, income-producing buildings. If you're a homeowner, there are various different approaches, and we're going to make that available. Any questions, just give me a buzz. You good with that, Jennifer? Okay, we're good.
Are there any more comments on the public hearing?
No, vote for it. Get
it. I need a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. So now we're going to call a meeting to order, monthly meeting to order. I need a motion to approve the minutes from the May 8th board meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the budget to actual reports for the month of May.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Motion to approve the payment of bills from the May 24th, May 31st, and June 12th abstracts.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Public comments, there's gonna be time for 5 minutes each. Donna Haynes is first.
Not present. No?
Sally? You want?
I'm gonna bob and hold it until I can.
Kate?
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to take an opportunity to bring forth some of the elements of one of the documents that I had given you. It's regarding the long-term effects of wireless radio frequency radiation. And this concerns that, so I want to read you some passages that encapsulate it so people have a better idea of how we got where we've gotten. So Carl Hecht, this is in Germany, but this is a worldwide problem. He writes in a brochure called Health Implications of Long-Term Exposure to Electrosmog. 40 years ago, physicians and scientists pressured the US government to issue a report on the effects of electromagnetic fields. In December of 1971, this report was released under the TIDAL program for Control of Electromagnetic Pollution of the Environment. The report was written by experts appointed by the U.S. Office of Telecommunications Policy in 1968. This expert report revealed the extent of an environmental risk associated with the increasing use of microwaves in technical communication technologies and in the industry that has hardly been known before. So a few quotes from the report. The electromagnetic radiation emanating from radar, which the Navy had been studying as well with documentation of impacts, health impacts, radar, television, communication systems, microwave ovens, industrial heat treatment systems, medical diathermy units, and many other sources permeate the modern environment, both civilian and military. This type of man-made radiation exposure has no counterpart in man's evolutionary background. It was relatively negligible prior to World War II. Power levels in and around American cities, airports, military installations, and tracking centers, ships and pleasure craft, industries and homes may already be biologically significant unless adequate monitoring and control based on a fundamental understanding of biological effects are instituted in the near future. In the decades ahead, man may enter an era of energy pollution of the environment comparable to the chemical pollution of today. The consequences of undervaluing or misjudging the biological effects of long-term, low-level exposure could become a critical problem for the public health, especially if genetic effects are involved. And they are involved. You can see a compendium of the 8 distinct types of great harm in Dr. Martin Paul, P-A-L-L, is 5G, great risk for EU, US, and international health. And other agencies, so that was the US government experts declaring this. And then what happened, also a Russian agency on telecommunications did a review of the Russian research reports on long-term impact, and with the results showing cause of multi-morbid clinical findings and non-specific regulatory disorders, you know, the human being dysregulated, and that these findings were not welcomed by commercial interests is probably responsible for the fact but the 120-page research report that they issued immediately disappeared. The same happened to Hecht, the author of this brochure, to Hecht and Balser's report from 1996 to 97, showing, reviewing the long-term effects that the Russians had done for a 30-year span, showing just what's going on here. In 1999, when we presented parts of our literature review, this review of the Russian documentation, we caused quite a shockwave among the scientists from the United States, as they were quick to admit. The reason being that the studies that are done are only for short periods, and then they pontificate about that there's no harm. They have not looked at it to date sufficiently. And in December 2021, a group of people gathered together to sue the FDA to do its just diligence because it has been pontificating about the safety of microwave ovens and the rest without doing their job. So just to take another step to bring this up to date here.
Thank you.
We're way behind.
Moco?
Yeah. Thank you. Please excuse my English. I have to read something. At the last board meeting in May, there was a group of residents urging you, the village trustees, to adopt the federal government's Clean Slate Act. I very much agree with you, Brian, that it is a political issue, not a humanitarian issue. The southern states, probably that was Georgia or Mississippi or around there, I don't recall clearly, but you can look up, it's on the news. The southern states, where they already adopted the law, haven't been doing well with that. For example, employers are not hiring black people at all because there are no records to refer to, and they are afraid to make decisions. As a result, there are unnecessary discrimination against black people. This law reminds me of Black Lives Matter, whose founders are trained as communists and funded by billionaires like George Soros, and destroyed hard-working black people's small businesses and killed innocent citizens. An LGBTQ movement, which has been dividing the citizens with extreme gender ideology, all after the American citizens have much less racial discrimination and started accepting the sexual minorities as well. In history, it is a communist tactic to use minorities to destroy the society and put the minorities in worse situations as a result. Although, Mayor Brian, if you are not considering discussing the Clean Slate Act, you should stop cooperating with the federal government's climate smart agenda. Unfortunately, the federal government today almost have no politicians without corporate interests behind them. That means they are working for millionaires and billionaires who are only 1% of the US population, not mom and pop business people in Fremont or in Columbia County. First of all, there are studies stating that the alternative energy industry emits the same or even more greenhouse gas than the fossil fuel industry. The climate smart agenda supporters have been attacking. The EV charging stations' electricity is mostly generated by fossil fuel anyway. Solar panels and batteries easily flame, and the batteries don't last long. So do the electric car batteries. That means they are extremely wasteful. Even if they would be able to solve the sustainability issues on the batteries, the rare metals from the Africa and Africa and South America, using slave labor, they compose most of the solar panels at Uyghur concentration camps in China. This is the same slavery that Europeans operated since the 15th century, and your American ancestors tried to stop it in this country today. They are only operating in it secretly, and the US government is supporting it for the corporate profit. How can you even justify to promote such things as a village? They also emit a tremendous amount of EMF radiation, which Kate was just talking about. The LED light bulbs that the climate task force groups have been distributing do the harm as well. My husband, as an artist, was almost losing his eyesight by using an LED light bulb close to his eyes. As soon as he replaced it with an incandescent light bulb, his eye got back to normal. With LED lights all over the cities and highways today, there have been the same types of health complaints, throwing out good working incandescent light bulbs doesn't make any sense to me. Are the task force trying to save the planet or pollute the planet by burying perfectly good light bulbs in light landfills?
Okay, you gotta finish up.
Okay, almost there. Solar panels and EV car batteries are same thing. They are hardly recycled. They are buried in the earth and pollute the land year after year.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Almost
that's
there.
5 minutes. See. That's 5 minutes.
Well,
we have the regulation is 5 minutes. You've spoken for 5 minutes.
Can I talk later when you get the time? Can I finish?
No. You have 5 minutes. You need to time your speech for 5 minutes.
I've never heard it happen.
Well, it's on the website, and we've been saying it.
That's
for...
I say it every meeting, so that's what it is.
No, I've never heard that.
Right.
Well, that's
on, Susan.
That's your responsibility.
No, you.
I didn't know I got signed up, I would like to follow Tom's speech.
All right,
okay?
Candace, you can speak.
Okay.
Yeah, you're next. You're on the list.
The following statement is in response to the submitted request for a village resolution to dissolve Climate Smart Community Activity and the continued lobbying of same. For months, village trustee meetings have endured the provocation of a small minority of residents that doubt the science behind climate change. This is a democracy, and all voices should be given the chance to be heard, but the village trustee meeting is simply the wrong venue for this particular incitement, and valuable meeting time needs to be turned back to those issues the village has the capacity to perform, such as municipal services, budgeting, and future planning. Suggestions of more appropriate forums where climate change science, including denying it, could be debated. No science is 100%. It is merely a collection of proofs supporting an hypothesis. Therefore, the maximum legitimate information at the appropriate venue will produce the best outcome. But I first want to review the science behind the Climate Smart Community Program. American scientist Eunice Newton Foote was the first scientist to conclude that certain gases warmed in the sunlight and that rising carbon dioxide levels could alter the climate. The paper describing this phenomenon was published in 1856. Eunice was almost a local, receiving her scientific education at what is now called the Rensselaer School. Unfortunately, her scientific contributions were, perhaps because she was a woman, unknown for nearly 100 years. Her published paper from 167 years ago is the first to describe
the mechanics of the greenhouse effect and its potential to alter the climate. Swedish scientist Svante Arrhenius was the first to link increases in atmospheric carbon dioxide to the heating of the Earth's surface in the 1890s. Apparently unaware of Eunice's work on the same topic, he came to the same conclusion, but expanding her work to a global scale. He later won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry in 1903. In the 1970s, Exxon's own research scientists issued internal reports warning of the coming catastrophe of an overheated planet if the burning of fossil fuels continued unabated. The world's largest corporation, Exxon, suppressed these reports for over 40 years, denying the science, and now, like the tobacco industry, which knowingly continued to produce products that cause cancer, the oil industry is being sued. This is just one of the many lawsuits based on holding corporations accountable for knowingly causing harm to the environment, wending their way through our courts. The Financial Times reported just last week that 10% of Exxon investors supported a resolution that the company must disclose its risk exposure to environmental litigation. Current cases involving Exxon's alleged deception about climate change and the role the use of its products play in the warming of the planet may lead to the largest tort award in the U.S. history, estimated at over $1 trillion. The natural gas and propane industries may be next in line. The aggregation of these scientific facts culminate in the 2015 Paris Climate Accord, where 192 countries signed onto a pact that would globally and collaboratively address overheating of the planet. These signatures were based on the evolving science stemming from each individual country. They agreed that the Earth is in fact warming at rates beyond the natural geologic cycle. They agreed that this uncharacteristic warming is due to human-induced emissions, mostly carbon, but also other contributors, such as methane collecting in the atmosphere. And they agreed to pledge a reduction of such emissions to keep global average temperature rise to below 1.5 degrees Celsius since the advent of the Industrial Revolution. The New York State Climate Act and much of Climate Smart Communities' activities are based on the Paris Accord. Mainly, the accumulation of greenhouse gas emissions must be reduced at scale to conform with the global collaboration and in a manner that is cognizant of basic human needs, respectful of the environment, and smart. Philmont's Climate Smart Community has achieved enough measures to apply for a bronze status and is already reducing village costs through lower energy bills. Furthermore, it is engaging in several other potential measures, such as community composting, community energy sources, including solar and micro hydro, all of which bring further savings to the village while protecting the environment. These accomplishments, solidly backed by the global scientific facts described above, can certainly be challenged. Again, science is just a collaboration of proofs supporting an hypothesis through our democratic system. However, presenting the challenge to the trustees of the Village of Philmont, who are not scientists, nor on the global forefront of addressing climate change, is completely misguided. Instead, the provocation and lobbying efforts should be addressed to the international agencies responsible for organizing and dispensing the science, such as the IEA, the International Energy Agency, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, and the Intergovernmental Panel on the Climate Change itself. The views of this Philmont minority will be difficult to get adopted, as their premise has some parallels to flat earthers. Politics, religion, and royalty all reap benefits by believing and proselytizing that the earth was not round but flat. This went on for over 1,000 years. However, it is one of the main reasons historians refer to that era as the Dark Ages. Changes to the climate already occurring show we do not have time for another dark age. I would request that the trustees pass these suggestions along to the lobbyists to encourage relocation of their effort to the appropriate forum, allowing the village's public meetings to return to issues appropriate to govern village government capacities. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, no, you cannot.
This is not.
You'll be asked to leave.
If you have any questions, you ask them to us.
You can't control yourself, then you're going to need to be removed from the hall. Tomoko, you need to leave.
Deborah,
you cannot do that.
I'm running this meeting.
Okay, so.
Susan, do you have anything to say?
Well, I don't have a prepared speech, but I do need to, as part of the Climate Smart Task Force, I'm kind of baffled by this small group that I've heard about. I'm sorry, I haven't been to meetings lately. I find it kind of remarkable that people want to stay in their microcosm of their current lifestyle. You know, you drive in your cars, you do whatever. Since the Industrial Revolution, we've created gas stoves, we've created this and the other. Meanwhile, humanity is not perfect. We have damaged this planet. That ancient orange air we had last week, and we have to correct it. And so the corrections might not be perfect. It's a process, a technology that we're trying to master, but we have to do something. And the scientists around the world, the millions and millions of people that believe it, I find it hard to believe that a small group of people think that they can solve it in this small little village hall that has their own community needs. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's it. Oh, no, the other thing, I had solar panels installed and they were made in America.
All right. Reports from the directors and the committees. Rob?
Nothing new to report, just operating business.
Jessica?
Tax bills were mailed out on May 31st and are due by July 1st without penalty. We've been extra busy with walk-ins, reporting and depositing and related to the taxes. Meter cards will be recorded for water sewer billing, and the bills will be mailed out the close of day on June 30th. They'll be due July 30th without 31st without penalty. The water sewer program is going to be updated to reflect the new rates and the debt service fee. We've been working more on record retention. Bob Patterson will be trying to work on the annual financial report at the end of this month. Benefit deductions and accruals have been updated with payroll. We assisted the DPW with the flower pots in preparation for Memorial Day, and office will be closed on Tuesday, July 4th for Independence Day.
Thank you. Building inspector, there wasn't a report, but he has been busy with the buildings. He gave me a report on the yellow house up on Upper Arch Street. I asked him to stop and see that gentleman and ask him what was going on. And he said that Lee's exact words to me is he's going as fast as one man can go. The guy's trying to do it all himself, and he's making progress. It's just slow because he's one man. He spoke to the person on Eagle Street with a burned out house. I see the lawn was cut. I haven't spoken to him since he's talked to that gentleman. And he's been around with our other building inspector, teaching her the ropes and getting her going. Library, Toby.
Buildings and grounds. We have rain barrels at all the garden sites, and they're being filled by the DPW weekly. So all of the new gardens to the pollinator pathway are not using the village water to water them. A lot of that water is coming from the DPW garage, which has offsites are looking good and being watered by staff and volunteers. If anybody is interested in volunteering, we are trying to water them the Summit Lake site needs some help, and we are doing the one in front of the library at the park. The park we already have volunteers. And the site here is also we also want to say thank you to one of our board members for hanging the Narcan box that was given to us by the Columbia County Department of Health. in the library, running the hallways. Services, we had 9 volunteers at our second planting in front of the library, including a representative from the Partners for Climate Action, who were our grant funders for the program. In June, this coming Tuesday, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, we will have a program with Hawthorne Valley Farmscape Ecology Program on native pollinators. That's at 5 p.m. On the 14th, 7 p.m., is our last James Baldwin discussion group. June 21st, we'll be having a program at Summit Lake with Mud Creek called the Firefly Watch. They will be leading a program on talking about fireflies and having an opportunity to watch them at 8:30 p.m. On June 21st. On June 30th, we are starting our middle school Battle of the Books program. We share a team with the Claubert Library, so if you have any middle school students that would be interested, we meet weekly throughout the summer and have a regional battle the second Saturday in September. Community Day, we're planning an interactive sidewalk project that we've been begun inviting organizations to participate. We will try to decorate the sidewalks from the library to Church Street and Church Street back to approximately Richardson Hall with interactive decorations. So think of hopscotch, but maybe with a sunflower or something, and you have to leave to leave so that it will be there for Community Day. We will do it the day before. We also have a repair cafe planned for 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the pavilion during Community Day, and we will have lamp repair, hand sewing, and bike repair, and an investigation station for children. We'll have old phones, old VCRs, and kind of electric toasters. If you have anything that you'd like to donate, we'll be able to have those available for kids to explore. We'll have them opened up, and they can check out how the wiring works and stuff. We received $11,000 grant from Hudson River Bank and Trust, which is $1,000 above what they've given us last year. And we just received today a $5,000 planning grant from Berkshire Foundation. What's that?
Senior lunch.
Senior lunch is happening on Wednesday.
We're still hoping.
Yes, from 11:30 to about 1:30, we will have lunch and game time for seniors. The lunches are being provided by Meals on Wheels, so if anybody would like to attend, they do have to fill out paperwork first for the Meals on Wheels program through the county. And we are just going over, we have a staff person who will over collect the food and bring it back, and will be available for anybody who wants it. And you do have to be 60 years older, to participate in the lunch. But you can still come and play the games if you're under that. We had our Book It Road Race 5K fundraiser with the Claubert Library at the beginning of May, and it was very successful. We had over 65 participants, I believe, and I'd say over a dozen volunteers. And I believe we raised over $2,700. That was split between the two.
Thank you. Community Center, that's Doug.
Okay, Community Center report for May, submitted by Julie Veronese, the director. Under facilities, she wrote that the center has been checked during the month, and the spring flowers that were planted last year by George Brown are beautiful. The Cub Scouts, Wee Blows, and Crochet classes are taking place at the center. She is researching programs for the summer. If anyone is aware of children that need transportation to the Claubert Town Park for the summer program, please let Julie know. She has contact for through DSS, I think it was, and that they can arrange for the transportation. Programs and presenters are always welcome. If you have an idea or if you want to present something, you can do that. I'll just add to one thing that's coming up next Monday is that there's going to be a program where I'll be there. David Sider from the Water Sewer Department, Julie and Eileen Ordu are going to be doing a program about the water situation that we're in now, so if you want to learn more about that, come to that program. I guess they're going to have some snacks and stuff too, so come to that program. It's going to be 7 o'clock, Community Center, next week, Monday. And I know Julie talked with Robbie Speed. He's going to help. Maybe Skip can help too. The big truck event for the kids sometime probably in July.
Might be able to find one or two.
One or two.
Yeah, we're going to need some big trucks.
You going to do the police report too?
Yeah. Okay, Vern's police report. He's got additional things. I'll just give you what he said. Okay. The monthly totals, they had 18 calls for service, no arrests. Property checks, they did 68. UTTs, 10. Warnings, 71. Unfortunately, Bert is sick today. He thinks he got food poisoning at a party. So he asked me to also say that the traffic detail that they held resulted in 18 additional tickets and 32 warnings. The entire department has completed their range certification and that they're all set and good to go for Community Day.
Perfect.
Here's that additional stuff. That's it.
Sally?
Good evening, everybody. So, Harris, the borough, and Al Dovey-Waller. So the borough grant committee meeting was held on May 23rd, and it was attended by Mayor Johnson, Governor Farland, Ms. Kochaus, Barbara Segal, Chair of the LWR People's Share Management Plan, and members of the borough sub-area 1 working group, Mark Rountree and Carol Schumer. The meeting discussed the borough consultant selection process, reviewed the selection scoring chart, and discussed the logistics to hold 3 selection review meetings consisting of one in-person meeting to be held at the regular borough monthly meeting scheduled for June 27th, followed by 2 meetings to be held in by Zoom. The consultant proposals, in response to the released RFP request for proposals, are due to be delivered to the village office by June 21st. Each member of the BOA grant committee will receive a PFD of each proposal received. The selection review process will conclude the week of July 10th. So you cross your fingers that you get proposals from lots of planning, or at least one or two. Number 2 on the report, review of the BOA work plan, especially the component 3 in terms of zoning and property updates. So it's important that you get that. Bob McFarlane, of course, is on the comprehensive plan committee, and there's this, you know, definite working between the groups, comp committee, LWRP committee for zoning and updates and that, and also the BOA. So we've got 3 different places, 3 different consultants working on zoning and local law, which means that we might get some really good changes. Finally, requiring the village appoint a zoning review committee to review and adopt zoning updates. So Brian, you took notice of that in the meeting, and that's got to be somehow scheduled, you know, so that we've got about a year probably, but the DOS are requesting, they don't want to just pay for the board of us, the consultants, to do the work. Then there's a review and it just sits on the shelf. They actually want to see a committee appointed by the village to implement the recommendations. So just want to, you know, I'll keep pushing that and bringing that up. And the last thing on the report was the LWR grant updates. So, oh yeah, it's just grant administration. We're waiting on the Bella Associates to be hired to submit consultant invoices for payment. Therefore, the village did not, the PBA as grant administration, did not submit a payment request in the last quarter. So no big deal, we'll just do it for the next coming quarter. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tom's not here.
He asked me to present. So the meeting took place on May 10th. The Light Bulb Exchange, the Story Crafters approved the video, and it was incorporated into Tom's Local Champions final presentation covering the history, challenges, and accomplishments of Philmont's Climate Smart Community. If anyone is interested, you can go to the Climate Smart Community page on the website, and there is a video there of Tom's presentation, which summarizes what he learned from, pulls together some of what has been learned and accomplished from the Local Champions Grant. And you can also, in that, you'll see the Story Crafters infomercial, which is very entertaining. Additional exposure of just the light bulb. The light bulb, we are discussing ways to present also the light bulb video on its own. The Light Bulb Exchange will be part of Philmont Community Day, and the Philmont Community Day table, the Philmont Climate Smart table will be outside the Philmont Library. The NYSERDA Clean Energy Community original contract has been revised to reflect applying unused funds from the water treatment plant audit to lighting fixture retrofit in the Village Hall, this hall. This was submitted to Jeff Charles of NYSERDA, who is on vacation until the third week of May, and so then it will be, Tom will finalize that contract with Jeff upon his return, and he will be scheduling the meeting with Greg Leggett and Doug Cropper to review prospective work at the Village Hall to arrive at an estimate and strategize additional funding sources. Discussions for possible flex tech audit of the water treatment plant continues with two potential consultants. The small size of the treatment facility may preclude participation in the flex tech audit program, but more information on that to come. Data collection for the bronze. Let's see, data collection for Pledge Element 2.1, which is government operations, greenhouse gas emissions inventory, should be coordinated with Audrey Kropp of Cornell, and based on data being compiled by Jess. Just going to pick out a couple of things. The Climate Vulnerability Assessment and Climate Adaptation Plan will be initiated by Audrey Kropp. Tom will inquire while discussing greenhouse gas emissions inventory. And anyway, there is a lot going on. We now have a logo made by Arthur King, and this is the logo for our Philmont Climate Smart Community, and that was done pro bono by resident Arthur King for the Philmont Climate Smart Community. And there's lots more. I guess we're moving forward with Columbia County Clean Heating and Cooling Program, which includes heat pumps and solar panels. Individuals or companies can sign up for the program, which is being tracked by the county based on information provided by the Climate Smart Task Force. And so there'll be information about that at Community Day. And we are also going to initiate Philmont's participation, look into initiating Philmont's participation in the county's aerobic composting program. The county provides containers and weekly pickup of composting collected at a location designated by the village. For this to be successful in Philmont, it would need to be promoted across all resident conditions, including renters. The program is not currently open to businesses, and this would involve coordination with the DPW, education and possibly incentives, and needs further discussion. But one thing that's very appealing about it is that it will reduce the waste in the landfills. And the county has taken on up the bill on doing that. So we just need to plug into it and do a little coordinating. That's all.
All right, thank you.
Robin? Yep.
On Monday, May 22nd, we had our first public outreach workshop here in the village hall. It was well attended with a steady stream of people answering questions on the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats with Philmont, as well as descriptions for a vision for Philmont priorities and an opportunity to comment on specific places. We also had some additional responses through an open invitation on the website. Photos from the event are now on the website. Special thanks to High Falls Pizzeria, McMahon's, Price Chopper, and the committee members that provided food. At our meeting on June 7th, we reviewed the compiled responses to begin to get an understanding of issues and hopes that arose. Using some of that information, we are now working on creating a survey to offer for the entire village. We're hoping to have that available for distribution sometime in July. In addition, we are putting out the Santa Claus box at the post office, which we normally see in December, but this is for your future Philmont wish lists. We will have a table up on Community Day to share where we are and offer the opportunity for further input. I'd also like to thank Mayor Johnson for executing the contract with LaBerge. We on the committee are dedicated to ensure that this is a committee, a community-led process. We are also grateful for their guidance and support. We're currently at over 100 hours from volunteer hours. Our next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, July 5th at 7:15.
Thank you very much. DPW and the Water Department, they had quite a project up at the water tank this month. Everything was completed. We should be good to go to drain a tank and get it painted. On that, I caught wind tonight that there's something going around that the reason that we have the water ban on is because it was mismanaged for the last however many years. That is not the case. We had the tank waxed or painted how many years ago? That was 20 years ago. We tried to do it again 8 or 9 years ago, and the gentleman that we had to do it didn't know what he was doing, and our sewer boss threw him out of town. Now that the regulations have changed, we can't use the same, we can't do the same process as we did before because we can't use surface water. So now we have to run water from our wells through the pumps, and it's taken a while to get that going. The reason the water ban is on is because our pumps are running 24/7, 365 days a year right now. If those pumps are taxed and they go down, there's no magic switch that I can turn them back on with and we have water. So if we take it easy on the pumps, conserve water as much as we can, we'll get through this. It's only 6 weeks. I know it's the wrong time of year, but this is the only time of year they can paint the tank. So just bear with me. It'll get done. We'll be back to normal by September. That's all I can say. But it's not mismanagement for the last 20 years.
Let's add in there too that if people need to water flowers and so on, that they can, the DPW gate has been left open and there's a hose on the front of the building and there's a tank usually on the truck.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to go up with containers to get water for your gardens.
That's fine.
That's fine. But we're leaving that open. So
you can take 5 gallon pails out of the reservoir. There's a lot of ways you can get things done if you really want to try instead of complaining. But this tank needs to be painted inside and out, and we have no choice. Otherwise, we have to take the tank out, and you're not gonna wanna go through that. So let us just get it painted and bear with us. Boys did a good job cleaning up for Memorial Day. Everything went well. I don't know when they're gonna start the tank. They wanted us ready by July 1st. We were ready by June 1st. I'm assuming I'm gonna have a pre-bid or pre-construction meeting here very shortly. I was in touch with the engineer a couple times. Doug and I met with the hydrologist and Alex from Garbage Pump. We're getting a plan together for the new well. In closing, I'd like to thank Jeff French for Memorial Day. That was a great parade, I thought. I know he likes to have a lot of people there, a lot of dignitaries, but I thought today, this year's was special because Annie McFarland, born and raised in Philmont, retired military. I thought she gave a great speech. That was special. That's all I have. Doug?
Okay, like Brian said, we met with the water tank people, the hydrologist and the pump people, so that project's moving along. Brian and I met with Kip and Hokey regarding a fire district discussion. It was pretty much at the discussion stage. I don't think anything's gonna happen from it. Brian and I interviewed a potential candidate for water wastewater operator, which we may need coming up at the end of the year. I attended the workshop meeting, attended the open house that Robin set up.
Jordan and Loki, can you just wait? They're here. I'm sorry, Doug, to interrupt. I just did that because I saw them leaving. They're here to talk about Community Day, and somehow we didn't find a place for them.
Well, then we can bring it up under new business.
Okay. If you can hang on for another minute.
10 more minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, I attended the Memorial Day ceremonies, the one on Friday and the one on Monday. Yes, it was. What also was nice about it was that there were so many people this year. It was just a really great day. Deborah, I contracted Roundtree, which I believe I CC'd you about yep. that, and gave him like 8 days to work on that project that I could help. And didn't get back. And those days have all gone by. So figure out what about that. I did attend an event down at the Clover Town Park. We had a lot of important officials, including Mark Molinaro and so on. So I got to put Philmont's face in their mind, talking about some of the issues that affect the villages. Tomorrow there's going to be a dam inspection, and I guess I'm going to be the one to meet with the dam engineers about that tomorrow. That's it.
All right. Jason?
No report, just general work.
You going to read the fire department?
Sure. You want to give now?
Yeah,
sure. Fire department! Alright, thank you. 10 calls for the month, 9 of the 10 were EMS calls. What concerns me on here is there one call that someone went by themselves, which is crazy. Someone had to go by themselves to a local medical emergency, and that's messed up. And that's really stressful. So, as usual, I'm putting a plug out there for folks to think about it. If they know anyone's able-bodied, you can always use the help, especially on the EMS calls. Doug, I saw you on the call today. Thank you. 26 calls for the year for fire, 36 for EMS, 62 total so far for the year. That's it.
Thanks. Skip?
Thank you. Yeah, I went to, attended the Memorial Day parade. Went to the banquet at Kozel's for a fire company. Had the honor of swearing in the officers that were elected. The sidewalks, I'm still battling with Louis and Jimmy to find out when they can get together to help me. Once timeline doesn't fit with the other timeline. So stick with us, we're gonna get them sidewalks done no matter what. I gotta go over and do it myself. So the main thing is I gotta get somebody with a backhoe to take the old sidewalks out. And then Jimmy can set up, but trying to get the right ones to do it at the same time is proving a little bit difficult, but I got faith in them, so don't give up on me. That should be about it, I guess.
Deborah?
I attended the Memorial Day Parade and Community Day Committee. I contacted the Sheriff's Office and State Troopers to invite them to participate in the parade, which Vern suggested that I do. It's Mardi Gras theme, so I hope they don't mind. I attended the Climate Smart Community committee meeting, and I did a lot of updates on the website regarding everything. And I just, and I'm sorry, please bear with me, but I need to take a minute of my privilege of being up here and as a trustee and say that one of the things I really like about our village is that we try to avoid divisiveness, and I just want to apologize to the people in this room, because I think what we heard tonight was we heard some ignorance and misinformation and the casting of aspersions about an organization. And I think, to my mind, it bordered on hate speech. And I know it has been presented that in Philmont we develop a policy about hate speech and pass a resolution. And in the past we have said, you know what, we don't need that because we take care of our own and we nip it in the bud. And what I heard tonight was extremely upsetting. And I think it might be a sign that we actually do need to pass a resolution about hate speech. At the very least, I think there's some actions that this board needs to take to protect our residents from having to hear that, and so that people can feel that they can come here and be in a safe space. Personally, tonight, I did not feel safe. And that's all I want to say. Thank you.
All right, correspondence. List is on the table, and the hard copies are in the office. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to authorize the mayor to sign the annual renewal of CDPHP PPO traditional option dental insurance.
Motion.
Village of Philmont.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to authorize the mayor to sign the annual renewal of MVP-HGEPO 4400/88 Silver Plan 8 Health Insurance Plan for Village of Philmont.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Nathaniel, do you know how to say that?
Blasher.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. To the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as a member.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah. Carried.
Motion to accept with regret the resignation of Matthew Montrose from the Village of the Philmont Police Department.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Emily Noonan as a member of the Village of Philmont Zoning Board of Appeals with a term to expire on March 1st, 2028.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $18,354.60 from the water maintenance reserve to water fund checking to pay the bills related to the water storage tank rehabilitation project.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor to sign the budget modification amendment for the Aquamomic Creek Watershed Management Plan.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to authorize the receipt of funds in the amount of $82,000 from Rural Development to be utilized for the purchase of 10 air packs from Municipal Emergency Services, Inc. for utilization by the fire company.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
That's 2 years this week we'll wait on that money.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, we got unfinished new business. Somebody got to say something about Community Day?
My name is George Walker, and I have just attended a couple of Community Day committee meetings and had the idea to have a music stage over on the green, which is where it looks like it's going to be. So I'm not sure. I think the 24th is the next and maybe our last meeting, right?
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how it all comes together, but if there is a schedule on the website. So, but I wanted to just share a little bit about the music stage, because we have asked to have some of the performers who would be playing music or telling stories and things like that be compensated for it. So. Put together a budget, not sure yet how it's all going to land, who's going to be there, and so it might be well under that amount if we'll see over the next month, or no, fewer, just a couple weeks, right? Yeah, so really we're pulling it together, but I think there's interest from Loki and Anthony, Irwin and myself, who all are local, to certainly both contribute to Community Day, but then also maybe plant the seeds for next year going forward. Then we have a little bit of a, you know, longer lead time in to plan something. So, but our plan is to have music from 9 until 3, which is when there'll be activities on the green. Sometimes it'll be old vinyl records, sometimes it'll be local bands, a storyteller, some people will read some poetry. So just really trying to get an eclectic mix of everything that represents the local community. So thank you for approving some money so that people can feel appreciated and compensated for doing it.
And you were able to secure a donation from the tent?
Kelly, because I say Kelly tents, which I think has worked with the fire department in the past. They knew you guys, and so they said yes quite quickly. They just some staging, and they're going to give us some electric cords and things like that. So it's nice. So that's just an in-kind donation.
Well, thank you for your participation. Yeah. We appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to Community Day. I really am.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really sweet. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody probably knows what's happening, right? But I think some posters to, you know, with, I don't know what the plan is from the committee, right? To
I guess we should talk about that at the next.
Yeah, but I think that will be important. But the food being at the firehouse, and then I know they'll, you know, and then just be able to hang out on the green should be really nice.
And then a block party at the end of the day at Canal Street.
That's right.
With barbecue and dancing, so music all day, and a
fireworks?
And a Mardi no fireworks, Mardi Gras themed parade at 4, and yeah.
Is the parade open to everybody? Like everybody?
I think so. It's cool. You just line up at 3. You know, 3:30 is the lineup over at Richard. Where is it? Not Richardson Hall at the Pine Haven. And we typically do that so that the Pine Haven residents who are homebound can enjoy it. And then we come down the main street.
Where is that itinerary posted?
It's if you go to the website under committees, Community Day Committee, you will see all the information. You'll see the schedule.
Sweet.
Is the music different at night than it is during the day?
It's different. I'm not sure yet. Who's going to be over on, it'll be a different kind of setup on Canal Street there by the DPW building.
I tried to get the name of who was going to be doing the music at night, but I don't have that information yet. But yes, it's a separate, separate.
Yeah, so it's a full day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll be emceeing for the day, and I would love to connect with anyone who wants to get the word out about anything you have going on throughout the day. So a way to connect the community to things that are happening, upcoming events, announcements. I would love to make that be part of the day. Also, I would like to thank the supporters of Community Day. So there is a list of people who are actually the main supporters of Community Day happening.
Okay, that's a great idea, and I'll try to get that public service, those public service announcements, you know, solidified at the next community meeting.
Yeah, maybe that would be helpful to let people know they're lining up here. Yeah. What's going on with the library?
Exactly, with the Climate Smart, you know, committee stuff, and perfect, and also the. Comprehensive plan update. We can encourage people to go and submit and check out the table.
And just to plug also that they're looking for vendors on the green. I don't know how many people have come forward for that, but if anybody knows of something that would be a nice activity, I think Habitat for Humanity is going to do a little build on the green, maybe a few other things.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Thanks so much.
I guess just to have it on record, Deborah and I did attend the Habitat for Humanity groundbreaking.
I saw the picture of you guys in your helmets.
I thought it was very well attended. Kind of nice.
And the excavation has gone very well, and we had some.
Yeah, it's going very well. It was a little dusty, but
yeah,
it's all right.
I guess, Brian, what I wanted to say about that is some residents in the area had said if there's a lot of dust, they let Brian know, and he immediately contacted the foreman, and then they brought water, and so it's
going as well as it can. And I want to again thank Habitat for Humanity for considering us. They're investing a lot in Philmont, and they want to stay here, so Deborah and I have been in search of places for them to go afterwards. Want to get those two done. We're trying to find some place. We'd really like to keep them in Philmont. Any more unfinished, new?
Did you vote on the law?
What?
Are you voting on the law?
We didn't yet. I was going to bring it up if you didn't.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Yeah.
Bring it up.
If you're ready to pass the tax exemption from the public hearing.
I'm ready.
It would be I was on it. A motion to adopt local law 1 of 2023.
Jessica didn't have it down in front of me. I'm sorry.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
You're good.
Carried.
Yay. Takes a village.
Yeah.
If it's not down in front of me, I don't know it.
I had written it on the bottom of mine, so I wasn't going to let you adjourn without it.
Need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Good night, Philmont.